following message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
2 weeks ago, we started this with just talking about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And one of the characteristics of a follower of Jesus is that they must be willing to hate mom and dad. Remember that? But of course, we look that word hate up, and in that case, it means to love less. In other words, we love mom and dad less than we love Jesus. We love our spouse less than we love Jesus. We love Jesus more than we love anybody else. And that is reasonable. And so here's the thing. Whenever I love Jesus best, I love others better. Or when I love Jesus most, I love others better. So we talked about not hating mom and dad, but loving things and people less than the Lord. And then last week, the message was entitled, Because of His Name. And I ask you a question, because another trait of a follower of Jesus is you have to be willing to be hated for His name's sake. And years ago in America, there wasn't much threat of that because the culture was close to, you know, biblical values and things like that. Even people who didn't go to church had a respect for God and for His Word. And so hated for loving Jesus really wasn't a thing in America. It was going on in other countries. But, you know, it's getting more and more popular in America. Our culture has moved further away from biblical truth. And so the question is, as a follower of Jesus, are you willing to be hated for the gospel? And I know hate, some of you grew up and, you know, hate's a bad word. You never use the word hate. You can only hate the devil. So we can hate the devil. And again, hate mom and dad, that doesn't really mean hate in the sense of detest. So we can detest the devil. But I found some places in the Bible we can hate. In Revelation, when he was addressing the churches, one of the churches was commended because they hated the teachings of a false group. They hated those teachings. And so you can hate false teaching. And then Paul, in the book of Romans, said that he hated the idea that the things that he ought to be doing, he's not doing, and the things he's doing, he shouldn't be doing, and he hated that. You know what? You can hate the wrong deeds, the wrong teachings of others, and you can also hate the wrong actions of yourself. Anybody ever hate some of the stuff you do? Anybody ever get fed up with yourself? Anybody ever look in the mirror and just give yourself a piece of your mind? Maybe you haven't done that yet. But man, some of the things about me, I hate that. I've got to grow in Jesus and get better. And I also think we have permission from the Lord to hate the traffic light over there by Westside Elementary School. Y'all know the one I'm talking about? The one that you're at 2 in the morning and it stops you because there's somebody, a driveway right there. Ain't nobody coming out of it. So you can hate that traffic light. So are you willing to be hated? And what if you are hated? What do you do with that? Well, the Bible says, do good to those that hate you. We don't get permission to hate back. Now today I want to talk about Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. It asks this question. The psalmist says, why do the heathen rage? And I think rage and hate kind of go hand in hand. So again, just continuing with the hate series. Why is it that those that are on the other side of the fence when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to God things, why is there hate over there? Now, you may say, well, there's hate in the church too. Well, there shouldn't be. And if there is, that needs to come out. But why is there hate in those that are against the Lord or not doing things as the Bible would say? Where does the hate? Last week, I shared a story with you of a girl who went to our church and was going to Brazos Ford College. And she was just lived her Christian life. And she was good friends with somebody there at the college. And then this person at the college was a lesbian. And one day, the lesbian just asked her, said, hey, I got a question for you. Do you know that I'm a lesbian? And she knew that. And they had a talk right there in the little cafeteria at Brazos Ford College, University of Clute. And she said, I know you go to church. Yeah. So what do you think about me? And the church girl, our friend, just opened the Bible and shared with her a couple of verses. And the lesbian got up. I don't know if there were words exchanged or not, but she got up and left, and they were no longer friends from that day on. What do you do when that happens? Are you willing to be hated? And why is it the other side has hate? Why do the heathen rage? And listen, that story I told you last week, that happened 30 years ago. There's a lot more stories happening today. It's a lot more common nowadays. There's numerous Americans that suffer because of their faith. It's not just suffering for Christianity over in Africa anymore. There are Americans that are suffering for their faith. Maybe it's not you. Maybe one day it will be you. But I can assure you that there are many. I went back, and there's no way I could share all of these. It would just take too long. I went all the way back to 2008. But let me just share just a few. And some of these are just reminders. I'll skip a few. But in 2011, a lesbian couple sued the Wildflower Inn because they would not allow their wedding reception to be held there. They offered to let them have it there as long as they could post a sign that said that they were not in agreement and that it violated their faith. This wasn't good enough, and the inn had to pay a $10,000 fine and double that amount in charitable trust. The inn is no longer hosting weddings. Now, I don't know the name of this couple that owns this inn, but they have suffered for their faith. Jack Phillips, I don't know him, but Jack Phillips has suffered in his faith. He's from Denver, Colorado. He's a baker and refused to do a wedding cake for a gay wedding. He cited his beliefs and he was sued. He no longer does wedding cakes. He still has the bakery, but this has cost him 40% of his business revenue. Jack Phillips has suffered, has been persecuted for his faith. Elaine and Jonathan, and they have a tough last name, but they were forced in New Mexico to pay more than $6,600 in fines after they declined to use their photography business to photograph a lesbian wedding. They have suffered because of their faith. Listen, if you start a photography business, a cake business, a flower business, a food business, whatever the business is, if you start it, my conviction is you ought to be able to run it the way you want to run it. If La Casona decides today that pastors cannot go to their restaurant, they will not serve pastors, that's going to be hard for me. But I'm not going to picket them. I'm not going to protest them. I'm going to trust the marketplace. And I believe the marketplace will determine whether or not their doors stay open or their doors close. The marketplace has a way of working things out. But you have to know that there is a government, there is a higher power, and even a power beyond the government, because our enemy is not flesh and blood, and there is something else that's going on here. In 2013, Aaron and Melissa Klein suffered for their faith. Now, as the years get a little later, the fines get a little stronger. They also had a cake business and refused to make a cake for a lesbian wedding, and they were fined. Their bank accounts were garnished, assets taken, a total of $144,000 for refusing to violate the tenets of their faith. Their bakery, which the couple worked for to create for years, was shut down. Aaron Klein is currently on disability after injuring himself working as a trash collector trying to provide for his five children. Aaron has suffered for his faith. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they hate you, it's because they hated me first. And we dealt with that last week. In Indiana, a family-owned pizza place, daughter ran it, son ran it, mom and dad owned it, they all worked it together, had to close down because they refused the same thing, and they had death threats, firebombing threats, and they had to close the doors. If you're going to San Antonio and you're going to go to the airport there and you're craving a Chick-fil-A sandwich, and it's not Sunday, it could be Monday through Saturday, you're not going to find a Chick-fil-A sandwich in the San Antonio airport, because the San Antonio airport has forbidden Chick-fil-A to open a restaurant there because of their stance. And their stance is fine. Their stance is exaggerated and misspoken whenever you listen to the press. I really don't have time to just explain all of this. Now, these are all businesses, but let's look at individuals. In New Jersey, a teacher was suspended for giving a student a Bible. A football coach was placed on leave for praying on the field. An Atlanta fire chief was fired for self-publishing a book that defended Christian morality. A Marine was court-martialed for refusing to remove a Bible verse on her desk. Karen Pence, wife of our Vice President Mike Pence, was attacked for teaching art at a Christian school. It's not just businesses that are suffering. There's individuals, and the businesses are also individuals. These are families. These are people who are working hard to make ends meet, and they are suffering because of their faith. About a month and a half ago, a Michigan pastor has received death threats for hosting a workshop on biblical sexuality. This pastor has received death threats for hosting this. In a YouTube video response, I'm not going to play it, I'm just going to read it to you, he said this: "People have literally threatened to kill me and my family, to burn our house down, to burn our church down, to assault the people of our church and our staff. So the question is, why do the heathen rage?" Can we not disagree without raging? The pastor went on to say this: "If people are thinking that we are grabbing somebody and pulling them in and making them come to us, that's ridiculous. It couldn't be further from the truth. When it comes to this particular workshop that we're doing, it is both the parent and the child that come together saying that we want to talk. We don't force the kids to be there. We ask them if they want to be there. And they are there because they are struggling and they are looking for counsel. They are looking for some direction and somebody to listen to them. And it is pure hypocrisy in the gay community for folks to think that you can have a choice to move from heterosexuality into homosexuality, but you can't have a choice to move from homosexuality into heterosexuality. There is an attack on Christianity in America, and the persecution will continue and it will increase. You got to know that that's coming. Why do the heathen rage?" Let me define heathen for you. Heathen is often referred to in the Bible, it's a nation. It's a nation that's not following after Christianity. It's a nation that's not after the heart of God. In our case this morning, heathen refers to an unconverted people or person, people who don't acknowledge God. For today, it's any group or individual who doesn't acknowledge the one true God of the Bible. And then let's define rage. I think you know what rage means, but rage is more than anger. You know, there's anger, there's rage, there's wrath, there's mad. And these are, when you look up the original definition of these words, the word fire or burn or heat is usually in there. It's almost like all of these words just point to a different level of heat. And anger is down here. And the Bible says anger is not a sin. It says, in your anger, don't sin. So anger can cause you to sin, but you can be angry. It's an emotion, but don't sin in your anger. But then there is rage. And whenever there is rage, there is almost always sin. Because anger is more controllable, and rage is like rage controls you. Why do the heathen get angry? It doesn't say that. It says, why do the heathen rage? Rage is a violent anger. A violent anger. And let me just clarify. If they hate you, if they persecute you, Jesus said they will treat you this way because of my name. Again, I'm not talking about Christians who are doing idiotic things and inviting trouble to themselves because of their behavior. Behavior that's not biblical and behavior that's not wise. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who are trying to live life as God intended and trying to honor the convictions and the teachings of Jesus. This morning, I'm going to give you four possible answers to this question. I believe all of them touch it are correct answers, and I believe there's more. I'm going to give you four. I'm going to build it off of the word rage. But I need to throw a disclaimer out here because I'm going to mention three groups this morning as examples, because these three groups are the most common groups that we're seeing on the news and that we're running into problems with. And one is the LGBTQ community, the gay community. The other, just listening to the thunder, I love thunder. Makes me want to go home and nap. I don't want to see you napping, I will come down. You got the gay community. You've also got the pro-choice community. And then you've also got the radical Muslim community. So I'm going to mention these three. And here's what I'm telling you. I don't want you to conclude that I hate any of these people. I don't. I need you to know this. I am guilty of hate. Actually, I'm guilty of murder. I'm guilty of adultery. Jesus said, if you have hate in your heart, you are guilty of murder. If you have lust in your heart, you're guilty of adultery. Church, what I'm telling you is, I've got my problems. I look at the guy in the mirror and I go, you've got problems. And the guy looks back at me and goes, but I've come a long way since Jesus. You have, but you got a long way to go. I know, let's just keep growing in Jesus, okay? I say all that to say I'm not trying to throw judgment or condemnation, because maybe you have a family member or a friend who's gay, and I mentioned the gay community. I'm not judging anybody. They've got their issue. I've got mine. We all fall short. We all need a Savior. We all need Jesus. You may have a good coworker at work who's a Muslim, and they are kind, and they're better than a lot of Christians you know. I get it. I'm not throwing all Muslims under the bus, and I'm not trying to tell you that I hate Muslims. I don't. There are people who are sitting here right now that used to be pro-choice and no longer are. There may be some that are pro-choice. I disagree with you. I don't hate you. I'm going to tell you this, and you may not quite get it, but my job is getting increasingly more difficult for me. I feel more pressure than I've ever felt. And I'm not saying things just to say things. I whatever I feel like the Lord has put on my heart and whatever is timely, that's what I try to give. And I try to share it in a way that is speaking the truth, yes, but speaking it in love and handling it in a way that would please Him, but at the same time not compromising on what the Bible says. So I'm not going to get up here and rant and rave and point my finger and talk about all them people that are going to hell. Thank God for His grace and mercy, or I would be going there myself. So please, when you hear me mention these groups, I am not a hater of any of them. I am just trying to live by standards that society once said were okay to live by. Four answers to the question, why do the heathen rage? Number one, we're going to go to the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis, but number one is rejection. Genesis chapter 4, verses 2 through 5. I'm just going to read it to you. You won't find the verses on the screen for you, but this is 2 through 5, Genesis 4. If you want to write it down, you can look it up a little later. But it says that Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, He did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry. We don't find the word rage here, but we find very angry, and his face was downcast. Is this rage? Well, I think so, because how angry was Cain? Well, he was angry enough that he went and killed his brother Abel. I would say that's rage. And why does Cain rage? Why do the heathen rage? Why does Cain rage at this moment? Because Abel's offering was accepted to the Lord, and Cain's offering was rejected. Rejection is what we're talking about. Why did Cain's offering not receive the favor of God? Well, it doesn't really tell us, but we have to just assume that there were some instructions given. One is, a possible answer is, Cain's offering had no blood to it. An offering requires the shedding of blood. We're in the Old Testament. Jesus was the final perfect offering. He shed His blood. Cain's offering had no shedding of blood. He brought produce. Another thing that is possible, notice that it says on Abel's offering that he brought some of the firstborn of his flock. You know what the tithe is? It's not just 10%. It's the first 10%. And in the Old Testament, it was the firstborn. You would give your first sheep. Why your first? Because you don't know if there's a second one coming. It involved a great deal of trust. it'd be a lot easier to hang on to the first one and give the second one. That way I know I got one. But there's something about giving the first. And so it specifies that Abel brought on the firstborn. It doesn't specify that Cain did. So there's a couple of reasons that maybe give a reason to why Cain's offering was rejected. But here's the truth that we need to get from this passage is that rejection often leads to violence. Whether it's you didn't make the team, you tried out for the team, but you were rejected, and you get angry. Or maybe divorce. You're rejected by a spouse. Or maybe as a kid, you feel rejected by your dad, rejected by your mom, and it puts anger inside of you. Rejection leads to anger, which leads to violence. Or maybe you just get left out of the group. Everybody's going over here, and everybody got invited, but you didn't get invited, and it leaves you angry. Rejection leads to anger, leads to violence. And you may be saying, well, I don't get angry. I get sad. I don't get mad. I get sad. Like, I can tell you this, that a lot of people who are depressed and sad and soft-spoken, it doesn't mean they're not angry. You just can't see it. Depression is often anger turned inward. Who is it that shoots up the schools? It's the quiet kid. He's depressed. And why is he depressed? Why does he not fit in? He doesn't belong because nobody accepts him. He's the outcast. And he's turned his anger inward, and it boils, and it festers, and all of a sudden, he blows up a school. Rage, rejection leads to anger, leads to violence and rage. Gangs often consist of people who have been rejected. They have no acceptance at home, so they find acceptance in the streets. Gangs are not the problem. Gangs are a symptom of a bigger problem. You ever watch a talk show or The View? I don't watch The View. It leads to rage. And the reason I get angry is because they're saying things that I don't agree with, and they're rejecting my view. And that rejection stirs something up. One of the reasons people get angry, and maybe even as a Christian, one of the reasons you're getting angry, how many of you told your child to do something, they looked at you and said, no. Did that make you angry? Just me talking about it made you angry. What is it? They rejected your parental authority. They rejected you. And that rejection stirs something up inside of you. The LGBTQ, the pro-life group, the radical Muslims, you'll often find a lot of anger in these groups. Why? Because they are rejected by not as much a society as it used to be, but they're still rejected by a lot of society. There is still a lot of mainstream society that, or mainstream America, that rejects these philosophies. Even though laws have been passed in their favor, it's not enough. They are looking for full approval of society. Listen, America was founded on the teachings of Judeo-Christianity. True Christianity rejects the gay lifestyle as being good and normal. I don't hate gays, but it's not normal. Read Romans 1. True Christianity rejects the teachings of Islam and the idea that Muhammad is equal to Jesus. Muhammad is not equal to Jesus. True Christianity rejects the killing of an unborn person. I'm going to give you a statement for each one of these. I'm going to give you a statement on this one, and it's simply this. God has the final say on what is acceptable and what is not. Listen, God has the right to declare what's wrong and what's not. Let's just say I create a board game. And when I create the board game, I write up the rules. And then I invite you to my house to play the game. And then you want to change the rules. I have the right to set the rules. I made the game. Right? God has created life. God has started this thing. God is the author of all things. God has the right and God has the final say on what is acceptable. Acceptable and what is not. Cain's offering, whether we understand it or not, was not acceptable to the Lord, and Abel's was. And that rejection led to a rage. A second reason that the heathen rage is arrogance. Go to 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 9 through 12, if you want to write that down. This is the story of Naaman. Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." You got to understand, Naaman has leprosy. He just got an answer. Not from Elijah, but from a messenger of Elijah. He just got an answer to his leprosy. How many would like an answer to your problem? He just got an answer, and it's to go wash in the Jordan 7 times. But Naaman went away angry. He just got an answer, and he's angry, and he said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. The Jordan River was dirty. And he's upset because he's like, "Can't God do it this way? Can't? I'm a commander. I'm a high-ranking officer. I've got some pride. I just want to be healed of my leprosy. He's a prophet. Can he come and just wave his hand over me and it just be done? Instead, I got to go dip into the Jordan River 7 times. And if I got to do the river thing, can't we go with the cleaner rivers? Why the muddy Jordan?" Arrogance. People that are against God want things their way. People want things their way. They want to do what they want to do without consequence. Isn't that human nature? I want to do what I want to do with no repercussion. We're fine with rules as long as we can bend them when we decide they need to be bent. Women and men who are pro-choice will get very adamant and angry if you tell them that God doesn't approve of abortion. And they will cry out, "It's my body. It's my body. Who are you to say?" And see, the state may accept their view, but God still calls it wrong. God still calls it murder, and that will never change. They will never have God's acceptance on killing the unborn. As a result, they form their own God. It's been 30 years ago. I went to a March for Life in Houston. Thousands of people show up for this every year. And I was there, and I took my floor tom, put a strap on and carried it around my neck, and I just told the people around me, I'm not going to speak on this march. It's going to be solemn for me because a lot of chanting was going on. And every 21 seconds, I did a da-boom on the tom. And it represented a heartbeat that stopped every 21 seconds due to abortion. And I carried that through the parade. We got near the end of the parade. There was about 7 or 8 people clustered up near a post. And they were shouting at us. They were pro-choice. We were marching for pro-life, Houston, Texas. And I wrote this down years ago. This is what they were shouting. "We ask God and she's pro-choice. We ask God and she's pro-choice." On the news that night, I watched it. And they talked about the March for Life rally in Houston. Not a whole lot of time on it, but they did show the protesters. They zoomed in, and you'd have thought there were hundreds of people there protesting. There was less than a dozen. The media is not our friend. We ask God, and she is pro-choice. See, if you can't get the one true God to smile upon your behavior, you create a God in your own image. James 4:6 says, "God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble." The statement for this one is this: pride puts us in opposition to the one who can do the most for us. Naaman. God was the one that could do the most for Naaman. Naaman had leprosy. God is the one he needed. And God gave him an answer, and his pride put him in opposition. The good news about the story of Naaman is a servant of Naaman came up to him and said, "Naaman, are you nuts?" This is the Message translation. He said, "Your leprosy will be healed. If he'd asked something big of you, you'd have done that. But he asked you to do this. Why won't you do that?" Naaman went, dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan. And the Bible says when he came up the 7th time, his flesh was that of a baby. It's brand new. God healed him anyway. Why? Because he humbled himself. God opposes the proud. James 4:6. God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. And God Naaman humbled himself. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Number three, guilt. I'm not going to a story for this. I'm just going to look at the words of Jesus in John chapter 15, verses 21 and 22. We looked at this last week when Jesus said, if they hate you, know that they hated me first. And they will persecute you because they persecuted me. Man, my eyes are really getting heavy. I stopped reading at verse 20 last week. I'm going to give you the next two verses. Remember, Jesus said this, they will treat you this way because of my name. And then he said this, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now, because I have spoken to them, they have no excuse for their sin. They're guilty. One of the reasons that heathen rage is because they are guilty. You may not even realize it, but guilt can make you mad. Maybe it's a situation that you feel you can't help, but yet you still find yourself angry because you're feeling guilty. Let me use this illustration right here. Let's just say you love food. That's me. I love food. Y'all like food? And you're eating too much food. You're eating too many Gigi's cupcakes. Now, David Crawford would say, that's no such thing. You can't eat too many. Buy some more. You're eating too much cake, too much cheesecake, pie, whatever. You're just eating too much food. And you notice as you go to the scale, every time you get on the scale, it's a little bit more broken than it was the time before. The numbers are off. They're going higher. You're eating too much, and you're gaining weight at a little bit of a rapid pace. You hate that you're gaining weight. You go to put your pants on, and they've shrunk while hanging in the closet. And it makes you angry. Oh, man, I used to be this. I used to could do this many push-ups. And you get angry. Why are you angry? You're eating too much food, and you're feeling a little guilty about it. And here's the thing. You know what the problem is. And as you get heavier, you get angrier, but you keep eating anyway. Why? People like to do what they want to do, regardless of the consequence. We may get angry about it, but we don't often change our ways. John 3, verse 19 and 20 says this, light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. They don't want to get close to God because they know if I get close to God, he's going to talk to me about my stuff. And down deep inside, I already know that some of my stuff ain't pleasing to him. So I'll stay away from the light lest my deeds be exposed. In other words, I'm just going to stay guilty. But you're getting angry because of your guilt. God has wired us a certain way, and we're not intended to live in guilt. We give our reasons. I'm only human. Hey, when it comes to abortion, it's my body. We've got all our reasons. Any reason you give that contradicts Scripture is just an excuse. Here's the statement. Your excuse does not remove your guilt, only forgiveness. Listen, I've got my excuses, why I can't stop a certain thing or why I don't want to start a certain thing. I've got excuses. But my excuse does not remove my guilt, only forgiveness. Forgiveness is the only thing that removes guilt. The final one. The letter E stands for expectations. And I want to look at the story of Nebuchadnezzar on this one here. And it should be false expectations, wrong expectations. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, if you remember the story, Nebuchadnezzar had set up a gold statue, and at the playing of music and all, everybody's supposed to bow down and worship the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. This is the story of the three Hebrew children and Daniel. And so the music played, and the three Hebrew children didn't bow down, and somebody came and ratted them out, and this is what they said in verse 12. There are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they pay no attention to you, your majesty, talking to King Nebuchadnezzar. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold that you have set up. Furious with rage, there's our word, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so these three men, were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up? Notice what he said. You don't serve my gods, and you don't worship the image that I have set up. Listen, not everybody is guilty of this, but there is a segment of the radical Muslims. Not all Muslim, but there is a segment of the Muslim population. They don't want to just live here and get along. They want you to bow down. They want to change the laws. There is a part of the LGBTQ community that doesn't just want to get along. We leave you alone, you leave us alone, and that's all fine. No, there's a segment that wants you to bow down. So again, we're not talking about everybody here, but you got to understand that there is a group that wants society to bow down and declare whatever lifestyle I choose to be normal and acceptable, no matter what the word says and no matter what you think. And you can't just have your position and stay over here, and we have our position and stay over there. No, there's now persecution for you to get off of that place and to move the direction of the culture. I told you can expect hate and persecution to continue. We now have two or three, I can't remember, Muslims that have been elected to congressional positions. This is me. I believe there should be nobody serving in Congress that is not an American citizen and doesn't love America and put America first. Things are shifting in our nation because we are wanting to be so politically correct and not offend anybody. But they'll tell you, we don't want to offend anybody, but the very thing they're doing is that they're offending God, and they're offending those that are trying to live by God's standards. Now, granted, again, if you're trying to follow God and you're being hateful, you don't need to be hateful. We're not called to be hateful. We're called to do good to those that would be hateful towards us. Matthew chapter 4, I want to wind this up. Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. This is the three temptations of Jesus. He was tempted in the wilderness. And on the third temptation, it says that the devil took Jesus up to an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all of these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Now notice again, society is wanting you to bow down to what they say they want to do. It's not just you do what you want to do and I do what I want to do. No, bow down and accept what I do as normal. This is what the devil did in Matthew. He took Jesus to a high place and said, I'll give you everything you see, I'll give you that if you'll fall down and worship me. Jesus answers, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. The statement, final statement for today is this, as followers of Jesus, we worship and serve the one true God. In Psalm chapter 7, says this, the psalmist says, arise, Lord, in your anger. Rise up against the rage of my enemies. Decree justice. Bring to an end the violence of the wicked and make the righteous secure. My shield is God the Most High, who saves the upright in heart. There will be a day when God will bring to an end all of the violence, all of the rage. We get closer and closer to that day. Until then, we are to worship and serve the one true God and to be an example to society and to share the love of God with those around us. And not to be hateful about it, but to be wise about it. I want to close with going back to Genesis, the story of Cain and Abel. You remember, Abel's offering was favored. Cain's offering was rejected. And then in verse 6, the Lord speaks to Cain. Remember, Cain got angry. His face was downcast. In verse 6, the Lord speaks to him and says, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Point number one, God has the final say on what is acceptable and what is not. God has the final voice on what is right and what is wrong. And he told Cain, if you do what is right, you'll be accepted. I'm not changing my rules for you, but if you'll change the way you're living, you will have my favor. God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. It doesn't mean for those that are living against God, it doesn't mean God hates them. No, he loves them. But for his favor, we must humble ourselves and line up with what he says is acceptable. Would you stand up with me?
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may his peace be yours today.